that God gave us music as a form of worship. Most definitely. Sometimes people feel as if they, or if there is too much music sometimes for worship. I think you can overdo it. But here at Sand Hill, especially this morning, what a blessing it is through the worshiping of Jesus Christ in the form of music. A lot of hard work, a lot of practice, a lot of hours goes into music. It's not something you can just decide you're going to do and do it. You can. God has anointed you to do so, to let it come that easily. But we're going to talk about something today, about a gift. And of course, a gift that God has given those who are in our choir. And I, let's be honest, and Rhonda didn't slip me a little bit of money to say this right now, but let's be honest, there are many of you sitting in this congregation that probably should be sitting in this choir loft and singing with our choir on Sundays. Once again, I get an amen for something else other than preachers. I tell you. But seriously, think about that. Think about joining the choir. For instance, when we have Men's Day, how many men sing in the choir? We had, I think, around 20 or so last year. And men, you sounded powerful. You sounded strong. You sounded really good. And then for Women's Day, I had about the same number. And so, see, there we go. The women had more. So we should have at least 20 people in the choir on a given Sunday. Think about it. Serve the Lord with your voice. Serve Him with gladness as we enter in His courts of praise. And we're going to read something today. It's 20 verses. I don't think I've ever read this much on a given Sunday. But these are some very important verses. These are verses that I hope that you read with your children or as a family at Christmas time to remind ourselves of the Christmas story, of the greatest story ever told. Now, like I said, I know it's 20 verses, but I think we can stand and follow along as we read these verses together from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, as we read the importance of our Christmas story. If you have your Bibles, follow. If not, you can look to the screen above. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all of those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of our service together. Christmas in itself can be, the idea of Christmas can be one of the happiest holidays of our calendar year. But at the same time, it can also be a sad holiday. It could be a time for one to experience their first holiday without a loved one. And many of you sitting in this room today are going to experience that firsthand. You've already experienced the Thanksgiving. And now you're getting ready to experience a Christmas without a loved one. And that's difficult. That hurts. It makes our hearts hurt. There's a void there. But the greatest gift that you have ever received and the greatest gift that you can ever give to someone is what can fill that void. One who does not know Christ will have a void within their heart forever. No matter if they don't lose a loved one or lose a close friend, one who does not know Christ will always have a void and it will never be filled. But for you and for me who can rejoice in knowing that we know Christ, we can fill that void. We should not have that void. We should understand and know that that gift that's been given, we've already received. Most of the time through our Christmas season, people tend to be a little more generous. Families tend to gather and help out neighbors or those who are in need. And of course, we know that donations are often given. We have an angel tree that we do here at the church, and the schools provide angel trees, and many churches help with that. And what a blessing that is for these children and these families who don't have what we have. You think about your life and you think about the array of clothes that you can choose from each and every day that you want to wear. And many children, many grown-ups don't have the luxury of that choice. They may only have one or two things that they can wear on a given week. The children that we see in our elementary schools, they may wear the same pair of socks daily or through the course of a week. So it's probably hard for them. It's probably hard for those people who aren't as blessed to see that there is a God. And if there really is a God, why would he let me be in such dire straits? But unfortunately, we know that decisions that are made in our own lives cause us to reap things that we have sown, or maybe reap things that our families have sown. It's not the children's fault. It's the parents. Maybe they made poor decisions in their lives, and maybe the parents of those parents made poor decisions in their lives, and it's a trickle-down effect. So it's hard for some people to understand that there is a God. It's hard to understand that Jesus Christ loves the world. But it goes back to us understanding and knowing that we have to make a choice. The poorest of the poor can love Jesus. The richest of the rich can love Jesus. But without a true foundation of knowing who God is, who his Son is, and why he came to this earth, there is no rich that you and I could ever receive greater than knowing the free gift of life eternal. So Christmas, a time for giving. Let today be a day that you will begin to focus on others and what you can do to help others. Because it's important that we share the gift of life eternal. It's better than any gift you'll ever wrap up in a present or in a beautiful gift bag. It's a free gift. It doesn't cost us anything. No matter what's going on in your life, it's important that you focus on what really matters. And as Christians, we must focus on Jesus Christ in all that we do. That has to be your focal point. As Miss Susan showed us all these different decorations, things that we use to make our house look pretty during this Christmas season. But what was the things that she pulled out at the very end? The representation of Jesus, a baby in a manger, and then his word. I think she asked a question about the Bible, and what is this Bible, and what's in this Bible? And I think one of the kids said, God. God is in this Bible. And if you open it up, you will see him. You will feel him. But if you don't study God's word, you're not going to learn to know him as he wants to know you. It really isn't about this particular Christmas season. Of course, when we come to this year, this month of December, we talk about the gift. We talk about the importance of real Christmas and not the worldly Christmas that we observe. And it's okay to observe the worldly Christmas, the Christmas tree, those things. I'm not saying that. But we got to remember that it is still about the birth, the life, and the death. The cradle the life, the crucifixion. That's what it's about. Don't let that moment, don't let that slip you by as you observe Christmas. Don't be ashamed to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed at your family gathering, if you've never done it before, to sit down and read Luke chapter 2. Don't be ashamed. Take joy in knowing that what we have read here thus far today is true. It is God's holy and infallible word. It is the greatest story, the greatest love story ever told. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for you. And so what better way to honor him than to take time to give others what you've already received? You know, this idea, the practice of giving, this is not something that's a novel. It's not something that just took place. When did the ultimate giving take place? It took place 2,018 years ago. That is when the initial giving took place. When God gave his son to this earth. Within this Christmas story, there are many individuals who play a vital role in the Christmas story. Albeit we understand and we know that without Jesus Christ, there would not be a Christmas story. But there are many individuals who played an important role in fulfilling the prophecy of Christ. And we're going to talk about a few of those today. And so the first one that I want to talk about to you today is a very important one, which is Mary herself. So if you would, turn to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at verses 30 through 38 of Luke chapter 1. When Mary submitted to God's plan, now you think about that for a moment. We're not going to get out here by 12 o'clock today. I'm just going to let you know that now. So go ahead and get that 12 o'clock out of your mindset. When Mary submitted to God, she had to willfully give herself to God. She had to accept what had been given to her. Now, she could have chosen to say, God, I can't do this. God, I'm not worthy to carry your son. And her initial thoughts were of this. Who would be worthy to carry the Christ child? So she submitted herself. She gave her body. And of course, now you women, you can relate to this if you've given birth. You've got to give up your body. Your body changes in that nine-month period. Don't you suppose just because Mary was giving birth to Jesus Christ, her body changed just like yours changed when you gave birth, when you carried a child for 9 months. So she had to give herself, her soul, she had to give her body to Christ, to God. She not only did this, but she willingly gave her body to be used by God. So let's look at verses 30 through 38. Of Luke chapter 1. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Remember, she was engaged. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who was not to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. How important would that be if God was to send an angel unto you and to tell you that you are going to carry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Be humbling and honoring. She surrendered her reputation, a good reputation, because she was now pregnant. She was not married. People looked upon her as a good girl. And now here she is pregnant. She willfully gave up her reputation to fulfill the Lord's calling for her life. Now the second individual who played a vital role is Joseph. One who often gets overlooked because Joseph had to carry a burden too. Joseph had to believe and trust the word of God I mean, how's Joseph? I mean, wouldn't you think that, oh, your fiance is pregnant? And y'all have not been together, but this is not divine. What's the first thing that would come in your mind? She's cheated on you. She's been unfaithful. So Joseph had a lot to take on as well. Joseph offered his love and his protection to Mary. You know, for you and I today as men acting in the flesh, I don't know if we would act that way. I don't know if I would feel like protecting my wife if I found out, or my fiance if I found out this to be the case. But Joseph was faithful. He was obedient to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 1 if you would please. Matthew chapter 1 gives us a great illustration as well as to what Joseph was going through. And in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, these verses that we're going to read is also from a prophecy from Isaiah 7, 14. Verses 18 through 25 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, Christ born of Mary. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. As his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, or while he pondered on these things, you know he was beginning to worry. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It'd be tough to do, wouldn't it, men? But he did it. Why? Because of the power of God, because of the giving of the angel, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their lives, moving within them, because they were obedient, because they were now beginning to understand and know this gift that was being given to them that was coming to save the world. Our next component, the angel. An angel gave an announcement of the Messiah's birth to some lowly shepherds watching their flocks at night. Shepherds, they weren't important. They were out watching their flocks at night. What were they doing? They were being obedient. They were doing their job. A heavenly host of angels offered praise and glory to God, and the shepherds were able to share the first personal testimony about the Messiah. We've already read those verses today in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The wonderful Messiah. Can you imagine what that would have been like? You know, we replicate that to how when they were able to go and tell the disciples that Jesus Christ had been risen from the dead, that he arose. And here now the testimony of these shepherds is they get to tell that the prophecy of Isaiah, the prophecy of Micah has now been fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is born. Our next individuals are the wise men. Relinquished the comforts of their own homes, the comforts of their majestic lifestyle, to go and seek out this newborn king, to give him gifts worthy of royalty. Look at Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was born. So they said to him, speaking to Herod, In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet, speaking of Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. Now we understand and know what Herod had an ulterior plan here. He did not want to worship. What did he want to do? He wanted to kill this baby Jesus. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now look, I want to reiterate that verse. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. This is what we've got to do. This is what we should have in our heart. We should want to come here and rejoice on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, on Wednesdays, in your car, on your way to work, while you're at home with your family. Exceedingly great joy should come out of your heart, should come out of your mouth, because you are a child of the one true King. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Could you imagine what that was like when they looked at that baby, when they looked at the Christ child? You know, when we see our children being born, Missy and Gerald had the opportunity to see a grandchild being born. And there's no greater picture when you see a beautiful baby there. But can you imagine the glow that probably illuminated that whole area as they looked upon Jesus Christ? Think about that. Could you imagine what type of feeling that is? You know, when we come here to worship, if we're focused on God and God alone, and we feel the moving of the Holy Spirit within us, that is a feeling that cannot be replicated. You will not go and get that feeling anywhere else. I hope that I never stand here on Sunday mornings or any time with you and try to make you feel good. I hope that I don't try to move you emotionally. I hope that God moves you spiritually, because that's what it's all about, and that's what it was about on the day in which Jesus Christ was born. He moved those men, the shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph, spiritually. At first glance, these gifts may seem to only pertain to the first Christmas story, but they each have application for you and for me today. So in your own life, I want you to think about, where do you have examples in your own life and how you can relate to giving gifts? What can you do to give gifts to others? The ultimate gift, the gift of salvation. What gifts can you give to Christ today? Maybe you need to submit to His will, something that's hard to do. And I mean submit to His will, not talk about it, not just ponder on submitting, submit to it. As I tell Robert Michael and those, don't talk about it, be about it. That's what we've got to do, submit to His will. Maybe there's a difficult area in your life that needs to be dealt with, and you're not willing to endure it on your own, but you don't know what to do because you haven't submitted to God. Giving yourself to God, that's what you can do for Christ. Perhaps giving yourself to those who are around you, the ones who need your protection, your love, and your time, the ones who are in your life who need to know about the greatest love story ever told, which is the good news of salvation in Christ. This brings us to our closing scriptures for today. So if you would, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The main concept of today's message is to focus on Christmas and this time for giving. And within these verses here, these words that we're going to read together, it speaks of the cheerful giver. Now, in context of this scripture, it speaks of tithing. This is not a tithing message. I'm going to speak on the importance of you being a cheerful giver with your life. Not a monetary gift, but your life and your heart and what you're willing to give to others. Let's look at verses 6 through 11. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work, as it is written. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed of you have sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now hold your place at that scripture, please. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. which causes thanksgiving. That word liberality means, you remember we talked about on Wednesday night, talked about being liberated, talked about being free from your what? Say it. Sin. This is why we give with our hearts. This is why we have thanksgiving within our hearts. This is why we should go and share the story of Christ. A time for giving, generosity, joy, and the glory of God is what we have to offer, not just during Christmas holidays, but all day, every day. I implore all of you to maximize your joy. Raise your hand if you've got joy. Now, how often do you walk around with that joy on your heart and on your face? You got to show it. People want to see it so they can believe it, so they can obtain it, so they can know where your joy comes from. They want what you have, and you can give it to them by telling them about Jesus Christ, by being the cheerful giver. God doesn't command you to give a certain amount, although he expects you to give generously. That's what's important. It's said here not to give grudgingly. Not to give out of necessity. In a tithe reference, you know, when you're putting your offering in the plate, don't hold on to it with all your might. Don't make the one taking the offering have to fight it out of your hand. That's kind of a, you know, grudgingly. Or don't just tithe because, oh, I better tithe. That's not what God wants. And he doesn't want your Christian lifestyle to be the same way. He doesn't want you to go and tell others about Christ out of need because God has commanded you. He wants you to want to do it. He wants you to be able to do it with a cheerful heart, and we're all capable of. Sow bountifully, and you will reap bountifully. God definitely loves a cheerful giver. God loves a joy-motivated giver. But isn't it nice when you do something out of the kindness of your heart because God's laid it on your heart, and maybe you did something for someone and no one knew where it came from, and you see their reaction, or you see them reaping the benefit of what you did for them? Isn't that a blessing? And not that you want to be recognized for it. We don't need to be recognized for it. When will you be recognized for it? When he looks at you and he tells you that he's proud of you, that he loves you, you are a well, good servant of mine. Well done, faithful servant, is what he's going to tell you one day. This expresses our contentment in God's graciousness by the giving of ourselves and our times and our talents. And it makes our works possible through the power of God, through the power of the cross. The promise God makes with increasing the harvest should not be misconfused with material items. That's something I want to stress to you today. I'm not talking about material gifts per se. That is nice when we do those things. But the gift that I'm speaking of is the gift of life eternal. Something that you cannot wrap up unless you wrap up a Bible and you hand it to them. And you tell them the importance of why they need to read it. But as far as going off and having to purchase something, Jesus has already purchased it. He's already paid it all. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time, listen, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." We don't know when he's going to come, but he's going to rain righteousness on you. Increasing your righteousness for being obedient is what he wants to see. He wants to see you being a cheerful giver. He wants you to see you being a steward of his will. God's gift is his provision for his people. Look at verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Indescribable gift. That's what we have. That's what we can share. Paul declares the grace Christians have been given has been given to them. This is in the words of David Jeremiah. These are not my words. David Jeremiah calls God the divine grace giver. That's what he is. God is the divine grace giver. Christmas is a time for giving. As God the Father has sowed us his own son. He sowed his son. He sowed his son to be the indescribable gift of humanity. May we too find ways to sow for Christ. That's what he wants to see you do. Romans 8:32 tells us, "He who did not spare his own son," meaning God, "but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Do you believe that? He will give you all things freely, but you've got to ask. How can you go and give? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How can you go and share joy? Through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. How can you do this? How can you go and tell the wonder story of Jesus Christ? Because he lives within your heart, and you should believe it with all of your heart. You should go share all of your heart with others. That's what I want you to do this Christmas season. I know that you will give many gifts to family and friends, but let me ask you this one thing. Don't do it for me. I want you to do it for God. Before this Christmas season passes you by, when you're out and about from this day forward to the day that Christmas passes us by on our calendar, make sure you tell one person who Jesus Christ is and what he means to you in your life. One person. Look how many people are in here today. Approximately 135, 145 people are in here today. Just think if each one of us goes and tells one person about Jesus Christ. What a difference that would make. And what if just one of those come to know our Lord and Savior as their true Savior? What will the angels, what will they do? Rejoice. Go and spread the word. Go and sow the gospel. God has given us his Son for his glorification. God has given us his Son for his glorification, but for our sanctification. Remember that. I do encourage you to put yourself in God's Word each and every day. Don't take His Word for granted. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But I hope as you sit here today, you know the one who holds the future. And may you understand and know that it is this free gift that He's already given us. Christmas is a time for giving. And I implore you to give. Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, God, and I thank you for this opportunity to be here with your people today, God, to read a portion of your word. And Father, how important the Christmas story is. And Lord, I pray that we know the true meaning of the Christmas story. God, not the television show that we see come on during the time of December, God, but the real Christmas story. We don't need the world's Christmas story. God, we have your Christmas story, and I pray that we hide it deep within our hearts so that we will not sin against you. Father, I love you and I praise you, and I do love you and praise you for these people here today. And Lord, I hope and pray that as they leave here today, they can say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. In your wonderful name, I do pray. Amen.